Well, there we go. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Monday morning. The Packers have off today, at least as far as on-the-field activities go. Obviously, lots will still be going on inside 1265 Lombardi, but we never take a day off here at Cheesehead TV. So what's up? How are you? How was your weekend? Hope everyone is enjoying the start of a week, wherever you are, worldwide. I always get people checking in from across the globe because that's where Packers fans are. Good to see each and every one of you in the comments section. Brett, good morning. How are you? Big B is here, of course. Old timer Dave, how are you, buddy? Good to see you. Joey the Jaguar is here. Of course, Joey's here. Good morning from OK. Oh, what's up, Thomas? Good morning from New York City. Hope you guys are doing well. The Vikings don't have a cornerback over 23 years old, had basically no preseason. Is Devontae going to kill someone? Dan Leisher is here. What's up, Dan? My old buddy from North Carolina, now in Milwaukee, living the life. How you doing, Dan? Good to see you, bud. Mary Beth, good morning. Brian, good morning. Bird Dog, what are you doing? Why are you up in here with that nonsense? Come on, man. It's Monday morning. We're trying to talk some Packers here. Take your stuff elsewhere. Or I can block you. It's fine. Whichever one you want. It's entirely up to you. George Lucas is here. Hey, man. Pity about those prequels, but love those first two. Eau Claire is in the house. What's up, Will Glass? Ann, good morning. Chattanooga checking in. What's up, Joel? South Texas is here. What's up, Zeke? Danny Miller, what's up? So, obviously, the big news in the NFL this morning, anyway, is Leonard Fournette getting traded. So, let me get this right out of the way. No. There. Taking care of that from the Packers angle. How's New York City? New York City is great. It's lovely. Beautiful day. Gorgeous morning. Although my neighbors have been doing some work and you might hear hammering in the background. Other than that, it's really good. Why did Jacksonville release him? A combination of factors. Mostly, I think it's internal stuff. Trying to get a clean slate in the locker room, so to speak. I think that's something they've been doing for years since the AFC Championship game without much success. But also, I don't think he fit very well into what they do on offense. And I'm not sure how well he fits into what anybody does on offense in the NFL these days. You know, you look at the fact that he had 76 catches. That's what will be pointed to. Well, there's a guy who can help you in the passing game. Well, certainly. But I think given what his salary was set to be and the fact that, you know, they brought in Chris Thompson over the offseason, somebody that the offensive coordinator is much more familiar with, et cetera, I think there's a lot that goes into that decision. There's no question that they are yet again cleaning house in Jacksonville, except for the people who probably need to be cleaned out, namely the GM and coach. Afternoon from the UK. Where will Fournette land? Lenny, I have no idea. The fact that they have been trying to trade him since the draft. That's right. They leading up to the draft, they were trying to move him and found no takers. And as Doug Marrone said this morning, they couldn't get anybody to bite on anything, whether it was a sixth-round pick, fifth-round, sixth, seventh-round, nothing. So Brian Gutekunst got more for Ty Montgomery than the Jacksonville Jaguars could get for Leonard Fournette. Got a hat with that logo. I love this logo. I love this hat. I love this. I almost bought a new one when I was in Green Bay, just as a backup. In case anything ever happened to this one. Jill, oh no. Good morning, Aaron. Just tested positive for COVID. Cheer me up with Packers news. Jill, stay safe. Please take care of yourself. And hey, we're here for you, right? We're here to talk Packers. We're here to take your mind off of it for a little bit. You know, that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. We want to be your oasis, at least during these chats. When do roster cuts begin? John, Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. The Packers will not be on the practice field today, Monday, or tomorrow, Tuesday. But then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they have their final three camp practices. And then Saturday, they make the cut to 53, which, as Brian Gutekunst pointed out, will eventually hopefully be a 69 because there are 16 players that will be on the practice squad. Of course, those 16 have to make it through waivers. So we will see what ends up happening there. But yeah, the cutdown will be on Saturday, and make sure you're here on the channel all throughout Saturday. I'll be live intermittently throughout the day as news comes in. We'll be tracking everything on the website. It'll be a busy day. So hydrate. Don't get too crazy so you're not too hungover on Saturday morning. And join us all day Saturday to follow along with the cuts. Riley, thanks for the super chat. Just think of it, Nagler. Five running backs if we sign Fournette, of which only one can carry the ball at a time. Riley, that kind of blows my mind. Look at you thinking outside the box. I love it. Any surprise cuts? It wouldn't be a surprise if I knew what they would be. I don't foresee anything glaring and or shocking, but you never know. Craig, with the question du jour of the past week or so, MVS going to break out this year? I mean, it depends on your definition of breakout, right? I don't think he's going to put up monster numbers or anything, but I do think he's going to be a much more reliable target and a legitimate weapon in the passing game, which is something you probably couldn't say of him last year as far as his accountability and availability, trustworthiness, what have you. I will say, so far, and it is still very early, but so far, he is very much proving that when you're judging guys between the white lines, obviously it comes down to performance, and there's no question about it. But there is some validity to guys who are fighting through things to stay on the field, which MVS most certainly was for the latter half of last season. And judging by what we've seen this summer, there's no question that ankle was affecting him a hell of a lot more than he was letting on last year. Because the suddenness, the explosiveness, the fluidity that you're seeing this summer is leaps and bounds above what he put on tape kind of the last half of the last season. So it's something to think about, undoubtedly. Joe's Home Theater, what's up, buddy? Thanks for the super chat. Lots of Jordan Love talk this weekend. Yeah, from all accounts. I wasn't there, obviously, but he looked better yesterday. It was interesting to read about how he was floating things early, and then he settled down and had his best day of camp. I remember another quarterback who floated passes early until he settled down and then was a three-time MVP. I'm just saying. Will Goody and his team be looking to sign guys cut by other teams, given no names thus far? I would imagine teams have very different views of the same player. I mean, that's that last part, KJ, is very, very much the case regardless of the year. I think this year is going to be tough because of the fact that you have so little information to go on. Now, that said, you heard Gutekunst talk about it, and we've heard other teams' personnel people talk about the fact that these guys are now scouring Twitter and scouring the internet and looking at camp reports and trying to get every morsel of information that they can. And any intrepid personnel person looking over the camp notes from yesterday's practice could tell you that Darius Shepherd's having a really good camp. So that's the kind of guy where I could see if they tried to get him onto the practice squad, maybe, perhaps, given what a good summer he had last year, all the good stuff coming out about him this summer, maybe that's a guy another team would take a chance on. But those are the types of moves that, you know, teams are going to have to consider this year, kind of flying blind because you have no recent tape on anyone other than maybe something like the Cowboys last night who had, this is great, a televised practice, but with no names on the jerseys. Ninja level stuff going on there with Jones and McCarthy. You think we'll have a better team with lesser wins due to the schedule? Freddie, I've been saying it all summer. I don't know if it's due to the schedule, the people they play, what have you. I just think that's the NFL, and a regression to the mean is somewhat inevitable in certain facets of the game. Two of the most important, obviously, are health and turnovers. Packers won a lot of games, won a lot of close games last year. They had the ball bounced their way. That you obviously know is going to regress a little bit. And then you throw in the fact that they were about as healthy as possible last year, combined with how much they turned the football over, how opportunistic they were. That's a perfect storm that you can't hope to replicate. Now, I will welcome it if it does happen. But yeah, I pretty much said all summer, and I haven't seen anything at camp to dissuade me from the idea that they're probably a 10-6 football team, but all they have to do is get into the playoffs and they can make a run. But yeah, I agree. They will probably be, their record will most likely be worse than it was last year. With how much the new game plan for the second 49ers game was talked about, and then to blow out like we did, how confident are you in the coaching staff's ability to strategize and game plan? Daniel, I'm actually very, very confident because one opponent does not determine your worth, your readiness, what have you. There's no doubt they got outcoached in both of those games. That's a matchup issue, and there's certainly something to be dug into there when it comes to matching up with the 49ers. But as a whole, as a condemnation of the staff, no, I don't buy that. They did a great job in many other situations and leading up to many other games last year. You know, obviously there's a measuring stick when it comes to beating the best of the best. And right now the 49ers are certainly that in the NFC, but I don't use it as a completely broad brush to paint worry onto the coaching staff's ability. Now, do they have to bring their A game and do much better this year when they travel to San Francisco? 1,000,000,000%. No question about it. Vel, do you get a call soon? Sly, I would think so. I don't know anything. Obviously, I'm on the outside looking in, but given what we've seen at the tackle position, I would. And as I've said a couple times, I think they'll wait until after week one to do so. But yeah, it would behoove them to make that call. Is Billy Turner legitimately pushing Wagner for the right tackle spot? Joe, I am not allowed to say. I can only say they are in competition and the competition is legitimate. And given the fact that Wagner has missed so much time, it would not surprise me in the least to see Billy Turner as the starting right tackle. But they have another week of competition, if not more. This is going to be the longest 2 weeks of our Packer lives. Go back. Carl, you ain't lying. Sam Shields or Jair Alexander? Woo, Northwoods. Always with the Sophie's Choice questions. Give me Sam. I love me some Sam Shields. Do you think Josh Neiman has a chance to make the roster, or did he come back too late? How's the competition for backup tackle? Again, I can't talk about depth chart stuff. I will say for Josh, it's tough, man. I hate that he had to miss so much time. I know he finally got the pads on this past weekend. Hopefully he shows enough to stick around. I think it's got to be a long shot at this point, though. Patrick, thank you so much for the super chat. Who's wide receiver number 5? Keep up the great job. Go, Pack, go. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for the support. I wish I could tell you who wide receiver 5 is, but A, I don't know. And B, if I did know, I'm pretty sure the Packers would hack my computer if I told you. So I'm going to have to reserve judgment at this point. Weston, thank you for the super chat. How's our TCU cornerback in Oregon Center? See a spot? See a spot. I think he ran out of characters there. Chugging along nicely. It's hard for me to talk about a lot of these guys because of the restrictions that are in place. Once the season starts, I can say whatever the hell I want because it'll be out. We'll be watching games. And we'll be, all seeing the same thing. The Packers can't keep it under wraps. But given that they still give me credentials, I can't say much about how they're looking in regards to making the squad, contributing this year, what have you. I will say Hansen has looked good, has looked solid. And that's about as much as I can say. Has Ty Summers progressed at all? Does DeGuara look like he could be fun to watch? 100% on that second one, Derek. You see the athleticism. You see the upside. I think he's swimming a lot as far as the playbook goes and just his overall responsibilities, which is no surprise given how much he's being asked to learn on the fly with no offseason on the field. As far as your – what was the first one? Sorry, I missed it. Ty Summers. Yeah, I think he's progressed nicely. Again, we haven't seen any live work, which is where his big question marks come. We've seen the young guy sessions at the end of practice where he has looked good. He's made a couple nice tackles, but even then that's not truly live. He really struggled last summer in preseason games with missed tackles. And until we see Summers in live action again, it's hard to make a determination, but I do think he looks better than he did last year so far. Have a pumpkin beer for me. Lysian makes the best. Weston, that's very nice of you. Thank you for the super chat. Nathan, thank you for the super chat. No such thing as fraudulent 13-3 teams. I think the offense will have that year to jump and Jair will catch the ball. Only downgrade is right tackle. I think that's a fair assessment, Nathan. And you're right. There is no such thing as a fraudulent 13-3 team. They are what they are, as Bill Parcells famously said. But I don't think it's any question that you can look at that 13-3 record and say they won a lot of close games. The ball bounced their way a number of times, and it's hard to think you're going to be able to replicate that. Hey, speaking of people thinking 13-3 teams can be fraudulent. I'll be speaking with the gentleman over at Pro Football Focus on their podcast later this afternoon, this evening. So look for that later this week. We'll be talking about why defense doesn't matter and how the Packers had a terrible draft. Or so I've been told. Should be fun. Jesse, thanks for the super chat. Looking for a big step up from Big Bob Tanyan, as you should be. He looks 100% better after a year, which saw him miss a ton of time last year, obviously, with that injury suffered in Dallas. But he has looked fluid. He has looked athletic. He has looked capable of doing whatever they ask of that tight end position. I think it's going to be a lot of fun watching him and Jay Sternberger in this offense. No question. Hi, Packers PR. Do I think EQ will have a solid season? You know, I think solid is a good word for it. He hasn't really flashed much in camp, and I know he sat out yesterday's scrimmage with an undisclosed injury. The Packers aren't required to give us any injury information until the lead up to week one. So we'll see how much that lingers, if at all. But yeah, I mean, you kind of wondered, coming back from that high ankle sprain, would he hit the ground running? Would he be able to kind of shine, so to speak? Certainly haven't seen that. Have seen a guy who can definitely be serviceable, can definitely help this offense, but wow plays, big moments, they have not occurred so far in Packers training camp for EQ. Ask the guys at PFF why they give zero love to Z. Well, there's a difference between the grading side and the content side. You know, George and Eric are on the content side, which is where I will make my stand. Is Rashawn Gary a player you are excited to watch this season? Yes. I kind of hate that this video background isn't Lambo. Katie, I can only stay for so long. My girls are literally right out in my living room right now, and I had to get back to them. Had to be home for the VMAs. It's our tradition. We watch it together. Is Mike Spofford jealous of Evan Siegel? Joey, I don't think so. But you never know. Possibly. So far, it seems like this year, especially a lot of younger players have made a step up. Kyle, that's the trend so far, yes, in camp. That's by design. That's what the Packers, that's how they go about constructing their roster traditionally. I know everyone got excited last year when Brian went out and went hog wild in free agency, but that was very much an exception to the norm. I think he's going to continue down the draft and develop path, much like his predecessor. And they expect those young guys to step up into the fore. Jay Sternberger, Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage. Those are the guys that are going to make or break this team. Not so much, you know, anybody they would have drafted this year, although those contributions would be nice. But it's about getting development, or even, you know, from two draft classes, like Josh Jackson's the world. Those are the players that need to step up this year for this team to try and make a real run. Aaron, what's up at right tackle? It's still a competition, according to Matt LaFleur. Completely personal opinion, no inside info here. I'd be surprised if Wagner is able to win the job with how much time he has missed. That's just guesswork on my part. Andrew, thank you for the super chat. Who is the best Packer to wear number 80? Oh, come on. It's Justin Perillo, right? We all know this. Can you take Joe Buck's job and commentate the Packer game? Craig, I'll be doing exactly that each and every Sunday, or whatever day they're playing on, that the Packers play. Right here on the YouTube channel. Just turn down Joe Buck. Turn on Cheesehead TV. We'll be having live watch parties each and every game. It's going to be a ton of fun. Join us. Who do you think will be the most improved player this year? Riley? For a while, I thought it was going to be Josh Jackson. Now, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Rashawn Gary. I think Gary is set to have a pretty damn fun year. How's JK's hang time looking? Pretty good. We saw him in Lambeau 2 weeks ago, I want to say, and he was booting like the length of the field basically for a couple kicks. He had like two poor punts, although one of them I'm pretty sure he was asked to kick directionally. So, and that's what's so hard. I mean, it's hard to judge, you know, just strictly on what you see when it comes to special teams, what they're asking the punter to do, because, you know, they might be asking him to kick in the corner. They might be asking him to kick directionally. You don't know. So you can see it and you can chart it and you can say, oh, that's a poor kick. But what if he was being told, okay, I want a lot of hang time, leave it up there a long time, doesn't have to go as far, you know, for coverage sake. Or we want it in this area of the field because of whatever coverage scheme we're running. Don't get me wrong. I would never do that. I would just say, kick the fuck out of the ball and get it as far away from us as possible without outkicking your coverage, obviously. But there's obviously a lot more to it than that, and that's why you guys are lucky I'm not the coach. Dustin. Oh, nobody needs to hear about that. Does this year's draft strategy make more sense now? Any huge red flags in terms of areas of need? It always made sense. Real deal law. It always made sense. This is your team. This is them building, developing, drafting, taking care of immediate and future needs. It always made sense. All right, guys, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers with me, chatting with me each and every day. We talk some Packers here at Cheesehead TV. Please hit like on the video. Hit subscribe on the channel. If you're so inclined, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. But if you can't, I totally understand. Just hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family that Analog Weapon came in with a super chat at the last minute. Thank you, Analog. Any new ideas you can talk about for game time streams this year? The game time streams? I can't show you the game, but we'll definitely be doing watch parties each and every game. Last year, we only did the away games because I was in Green Bay for the home games. I'm going to be in the studio for each and every game this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you check it out. Hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day.